Good morning and welcome to Focus on Health, the weekly program where we talk about all the great things happening at Van Deest Medical Center. I'm your host, Lori Foster, and I want to thank you for tuning in with us today. We're going to be talking about our Infusion Center renovation project with Clinics Director Lee Miller, but before we do, I have some announcements that I'd like to share. We have resumed regular visiting hours in our inpatient department as of this week. We are now back to 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. for visiting hours, still limiting the number of visitors to 3 visitors per patient per day, with those individuals not returning again once they leave. And this really is to just provide the safest environment possible for all of our patients. Also, I have some special news to share. Our Chief Financial Officer, Alice Heinrichs, just celebrated 30 years working for the hospital, and she is retiring at the end of this month. We are hosting an open house in her honor on Thursday, March 24th, from 1 to 3 p.m. in our clinic boardroom. The public is encouraged to attend. We'd love to have you stop by and wish Alice congratulations on her retirement. I do need to put a reminder out there, masks will need to be worn to come into the facility. Also, the next SALT meeting, and SALT stands for Seniors and Law Enforcement Together, is scheduled for Thursday, April 7th, beginning at 9:30 in the morning at the Webster City Community Theater. A breakfast social will begin at 9 o'clock. The meeting actually will take place beginning at 9:30, and a program will follow. The program for this month's meeting will feature Pat Palmer, the computer guy, and he's going to be talking about internet and telephone scams and how not to become a victim of these scams. SALT meetings are free and open to the public to attend. Lastly, a couple of reminders for scholarship opportunities that are available to those who are seeking a career in healthcare and to second-year nursing students at Iowa Central Community College. I encourage you to visit our website for more information and those upcoming deadlines. And also, if you are looking to join a terrific team and have a rewarding career, check out the positions available at Van Deest Medical Center. I again would encourage you to go to our website at vandeestmc.org for a current list of our open positions. There are some full-time and part-time positions for nurses, kitchen help, patient access or registration positions, and we're just looking to add individuals to join our terrific team. So I encourage you to check them out and apply online today. And with that, I think we can start right into our program. As I mentioned, we are going to be talking about our Infusion Center renovation project, and I'm very excited to be sharing the most current information about this project with our listeners today. We do have our Director of Clinic Operations with us, Lee Miller. Good morning to you, Lee.
Good morning.
Thank you for being on the program today.
Well, and thank you, and I'm excited to talk about the changes that are taking place in our Infusion Center.
Well, let's just get started and jump right in. So what can you share with our listeners today about the project?
Well, first I want to start with a little bit of background. So our Infusion Center opened in 2016. Prior to this, our patients undergoing chemotherapy and other long-term infusions were traveling out of town to receive these services. We looked at this and determined that this really was a need for our patients and we wanted to keep them local. So we opened the Infusion Center, and within a year, we were serving close to 100 patients every month. Since that time, our patient visits have increased steadily, as have the services that we offer within the Infusion Center.
Awesome. Thanks for that little bit of background, Lee. Let's do talk about some of the services that are offered and some of the chronic conditions that are treated with infusion therapy, because I think for a lot of people, they obviously do think of chemotherapy, but there are so many other services that we do offer and conditions in which we treat.
We do, and a lot of these are very specialized services and treatments that we offer. So our outpatient infusion center is staffed from 7:30 to 5, Monday through Friday, by two RNs with over 50 years of experience between the two of them. Janine and Mary do a wonderful job of scheduling patients at times at work for their schedules, as well as working in new and urgent cases whenever the need arises. Services that we do in the infusion center include things like long-term antibiotics, fluid replacement, blood and blood products, IVIG. We do chemotherapies for our oncology patients, and also medications to treat things like autoimmune disorders, kidney disease, and other medications that are needed for long-term treatment or maintenance of chronic medical conditions. That list is actively growing every month, depending on requests that we get from our patients. When new medications come out, patients are identified with new medical conditions, things like that. We look to see if we can treat them in our infusion center. One unique treatment that I wanted to talk about today that we offer in the infusion center is called PTNM, percutaneous tibial nerve modulation. And this is something that is very unique to our area, and it is used to treat overactive bladder. And it's kind of an unusual treatment in which there is a needle that is placed on the inside aspect of the ankle. The needle is connected to a nerve impulse that will go off for 15 minutes. The patient will sit there, they'll feel their toes kind of twitch a little bit, and then they watch TV, they look at their iPads, they read a book for that 15 minutes, and then they are done. They come back weekly for 4 to 6 weeks, and then after that, they come back once a month for a 15-minute treatment. Those medications that they take for overactive bladder, a lot of times they no longer have to take those when they have PTNM. So the patients that have undergone PTNM have been very happy. Again, it has reduced the medication that they needed, and it has really given them control of their life back by reducing their overactive bladder symptoms. So it is an amazing service that we offer. We've had many patients go through PTNM and continue to do the maintenance doses on it even to this day.
Absolutely, Lee. I am so glad that you shared that service because I think it's one that, we need to get the information out because there are a lot of people that suffer from that. And it's fairly new technology and patients really have had great success with this.
They really have. And, you know, it's a little bit disconcerting when they first come in and they say, you're going to put a needle where mm-hmm. and you're going to do what? But once they get that needle that first time and see it doesn't hurt, it doesn't even really bother them. It just makes their toes twitch a little bit. We know we're in the right place. And then they have 15 minutes to relax and watch TV. And then they go about their business. And many of them within 3 to 4 treatments start to say, okay, I can see a real difference here. And then, you know, even a year or 2 years later with that maintenance dosing, they're saying, I still don't have to take medications for it. And, you know, what a wonderful thing that is to be able to not have to take medication, if you've got another alternative treatment.
Absolutely. And I am glad, too, that you mentioned that kind of that list of services is increasing and expanding all the time. I know in just visiting with the nurses there, with Janine and Mary, it does seem like new medications are coming forward. Patients talk to them about it. They work through our pharmacists to bring those on site, and it is just a wonderful, wonderful convenience to patients.
It really is. And, you know, when you think about it, patients, you know, don't have to drive. You know, many of them were driving an hour or an hour and a half or up to 3 hours for some of these treatments one way. And so to be able to just get those treatments locally for those things, I mean, it, not only is it a time saver for them, but, you know, if they are struggling under whatever condition that they're mm-hmm. working through and the treatment sometimes can be very exhausting in themselves, to be able to just be home and not have to then look at, okay, now I have to drive. What a difference that makes for patients as well.
Gosh, it's so true. And that is really what we've heard when we've talked with individual patients about their services here and how needed this project is, because that's the biggest thing we hear. It saves them from having to drive out of town, and it is so convenient to just have and receive those services right here. So it's exciting, especially when you get those personal testimonials from patients of how important and how much it means to have these services here. So we're going to be talking more about that. So for people who don't know, haven't had to use the infusion center, they may not know exactly where it's located. It is in the hospital. Let's talk about its actual location now, maybe what was there previously to help people kind of imagine where it's located.
Right. It's right basically in the center of the hospital. So it's where the former boardroom used to be. And right next to the boardroom was the nurse educator room. And so when the initial infusion center was created, they took both of those spaces to make the existing infusion center. And so while that was convenient for us at the time, and it made it easy for us at the time to kind of develop the infusion center, it did bring some challenges with it that we're starting to identify right now. So that space is just under 550 square feet. It has 4 infusion chairs, One of the challenges that we have with it is a nurse's station is in a separate area because we did take that nurse educator office and make that the nurse's station. While that worked for us, the reality is there's no visibility from the nurse's workspace to the patients. There's also not a bathroom within that infusion center. So this can be problematic, particularly for patients that are receiving extended treatments. They must be escorted down a common hallway to a public bathroom. So while that space worked for us initially, as we've continued to grow, we're starting to see more challenges with it. And that kind of brings us to, okay, so that's where it's located. That's what the space was. Mm-hmm. You know, what are you going to do with it now? And where are you going to, you know, get space? I think that's probably the number one question because it is in the middle of the building. You can't just push out a wall and add on that way. So what are you going to do in order to accommodate that? And so really the answer to that is that we are masters of flexibility at Vantage Medical Center, and we are really good at looking at spaces and determining what we need and where we need to be with things. And so what we've done is we've really looked at reconfiguring some of our office spaces to make them work more efficiently for us. And that might include, you know, getting people that are working together on projects more closely aligned, which is great for them because it decreases the amount of walking that they're having to do or, you know, that back and forth that they might have to do. And in doing so, we've got some office space that we're then able to kind of reconfigure and add into the infusion center project. In addition, it was also a really good time to look at physical therapy. You know, reality is just like anything else in healthcare, physical therapy and the way we deliver care has changed over time. And so looking at that space and determining kind of a better way to deliver the space or deliver care more efficiently has been fantastic for us as well. And so we've looked at that. We're going to reconfigure some spots within physical therapy so that they can maintain the care that they need to provide. But we've got a little bit of extra space that we can pull out of the backside of physical therapy to add into infusion center as well. And so, yes, we're landlocked in there. We can't really add on anywhere, but we are really good at kind of reconfiguring and getting the space when we need it.
Yes, and that is going to work well. And so just like you explained, you did a nice job with that, Lee, of explaining that the current infusion center really butts right up against kind of the backside of our therapy services. There are some offices, too, that are kind of along the perimeter of our current center, and so we're going to be just enlarging that space, taking on into some of those other departments. So
it won't impact any of the care that we're giving in any of those areas currently. It won't impact the ability of the people that have been in some of those office spaces to do their work. It really is just improving efficiencies all around.
Right. And like you mentioned, you know, when we started offering these services, it was wonderful to have them. You know, we started with 4 chairs. What we're seeing is the increasing need for these services and definitely the need to expand the number of chairs and the space that we're offering these services in. So maybe talk a little bit about kind of what that looks like and just maybe leading into the benefits that we'll see with this project.
Absolutely. So as we've gotten busier and as a lot of the treatments that we're seeing that we're doing now require longer and longer amounts of time to provide the services, what we're finding is that we're running out of space. So it's not unusual to try to schedule more than 4 people in a morning for longer infusions. And again, right now we only have 4 chairs available. So this leads to a lot of patients having to wait and shuffling to get people moved around so that we can get them taken care of. And what we know is more and more insurance companies are requiring treatments to be moved to an outpatient setting. So we know that the demand for the infusion center is going to continue to grow, and we really need to have more space in order to do that. So what we're going to be doing with this infusion center project is really to be doubling the square footage of our existing infusion center to almost 1,200 square feet. So the new infusion center space is going to double the number of infusion bays to 8. And it's also going to add a 9th space that will contain a hospital bed for patients undergoing longer treatments or procedures. There's going to be a nutrition space built in, allowing the nurses to provide patients with snacks and small meals as needed. There's also going to be a dedicated bathroom for infusion center patients. And this is huge. You know, again, when you think about it, for patients undergoing longer treatments to have to walk down a common hallway, you know, to a public bathroom, it works. But the idea of just having the bathroom right in there and them able to just go in and use that and go back to their chair is going to be just a really nice benefit for our patients. Each infusion bay is going to have an individual television. There will be dimmable lighting, privacy curtains. And one of the more exciting features for us from a safety standpoint is the ability for the nurses to monitor the patients from the nurse's station easily and safely. They will have a perfect line of sight to every patient within the infusion center, which is something that we struggle with currently, and they'll be able to do their task at their workspace and still monitor and speak with our patients as they're undergoing their treatments. In addition, patients will have room for a family member or a support person to stay with them during their treatments, which is something that has been difficult to do in the current space. You know, we tend to have, you know, four patients with four support people, and it can get very clustered in there, cluttered in there, and we're trying to, you know, do what we need to do with the patients and allow them to have their support person can be a challenge. So this will be nice to have this additional space in there as well. As I talked about in the corner, there's going to be a private bed, and this will allow those needing extended treatments a quiet place to rest. And our goal overall with this renovation is really to provide a comfortable space for patients, a convenient workspace for nurses, and increase the safety and efficiency of the space. In addition, this renovation and expansion is going to allow us to double the number of patients we are caring for at one time, giving us greater flexibility to meet the needs of our patients.
Wonderful. Lee, you highlighted so many benefits that this project is going to bring to our hospital, to those patients receiving these services. Like you said, I think most importantly is just the privacy aspect. Most of these patients coming are bringing a support person, or they're being driven by someone or have someone there. It is not uncommon for patients to be here for hours, sometimes multiple hours, getting these treatments, and multiple times each week. So if you can imagine, you're there, you're with a support person, and quite often when I'm going by or I'm popping in even, each of the chairs can be full. And so it does get really crowded in that space. And so this is just going to create privacy. Having the bathroom located in there is just a huge asset. As anyone can imagine, if you're needing to use facilities and need to go out into a public hallway where there are, you know, obviously other patients, visitors, staff, they use the public restrooms right in our public hallway there and usually have their infusion pole with them going in. And so it is a bit of a challenge. Having that bathroom located in the center is going to be great. Just in general, the layout for patients or staff is going to, again, enhance the privacy and enhance the safety. And it's just going to be a much better layout. So
100%. It is. We are so excited and so happy that we're able to do this. You know, it has been something that we've been looking at for a few years. Obviously, you know, the last couple of years, we kind of had to put it on the back burner a little bit while we were navigating through what healthcare looked like over the last couple of years. But reality is, even during the last 2 years, with all of the other things that were going on, these patients still needed to get their treatments. So that didn't change. And that busyness has just continued to escalate in there. And so it is really unfortunate when we have five or six patients that really need to get their treatments, and their treatments are several hours in length, and they're having to wait, you know, and then it's getting later into the day because that's when we're able to move them and work them in. So this ability for us to get them in at a time that works for them, get them done, and be able to get them on their way to do, you know, whatever they need to do in their life is going to be really, really rewarding for us. And in addition, like you said, the bathroom, not only is it a privacy thing when these patients are having to go down the hallway carrying their, you know, pushing their IV poles, but for some of them, you know, the ability to walk that far is a challenge as well. And so to have it be really close to where their infusion bay is going to be will be helpful that way as well.
It definitely will.
So let's talk about where we are in the process to date and the next steps to come.
Sure. We did go through a public bid process, and Peterson Construction was awarded the bid for this project. We have begun working with them with initial meetings, and we hope to have an appropriate timeline established soon. We are looking at a lot of things. You know, again, with everything that's happened in the last couple years, getting the the supplies and all of those pieces for this is potentially going to be a challenge for us. So we want to make sure that we have all of our ducks in a row before we really set that timeline, because we want to disrupt our patients as limited as we can. And so getting that timeline in order and making sure that it is doable for Peterson Construction and all of their people as well as for us is really our primary objective right now.
And I think I've not been involved in all of the planning meetings, but in a couple that I have been involved with, it sounds like once we have confirmed that we have the supplies we need and construction actually gets underway, it's maybe, I want to say about 4 months to complete the actual construction for the space, correct?
And that was the initial estimate that was given to us, and we're really wanting to stay with that, which is why we're hoping to get a better timeline on when the supplies and everything can be brought in, because what we don't want is to get partway through and then find out, okay, there's going to be a delay. So if we can work to get everything ready to go and then start the actual construction, it should be about 4 months' time based on the guideline or the timelines that we've been given so far.
Right. And just like you've said, our goal is to continue to provide these services. These are much needed services for the patients that receive them. So we're during that process, during the construction, it will look different, but we'll still be providing these services. They won't go away, but we definitely don't want to have to displace patients for very long. And so even if it means delaying the start of the project a little bit, once we get underway, it's full steam ahead.
Absolutely. Our goal is to have patients have as little disruption of services as we can. Now, that might mean that we are in a different area within the hospital, but our goal is to continue to serve the same number of patients that we're serving right now, because these are treatments that these patients need, that they can't delay because our area is being worked on. So we've not really determined where yet in the hospital we're going to offer these services. It really depends on that timeline, what that looks like, and what we need to do from our side to kind of facilitate the remodel piece of it. So I don't know exactly where we're going to offer those services yet. That is still being worked out. Obviously, once we determine a plan for that, then we'll communicate to our patients and say, okay, this is where you're going to be. And we're going to try to make that as smooth as we can for patients as well. Our goal there is to make it a convenient disruption, I guess, is how I would call that. It's not going to be going to the same location in the hospital, but hopefully everything else looks similar or feels similar. Same nurses, same treatments, same chairs, all of those things will be continuing. So, and we'll try to limit the amount of walking and things like that patients will have to do as well.
Excellent. Good to know. Well, let's talk a little bit about the campaign that is going on and some of the funding that is going to be utilized to really make this project happen. I guess I will interject here, too, to say, this was a project that was slated to begin a couple years ago. And then, as we all know, COVID pandemic hit and it was put on the back burner until last year, when we had an anonymous donor come forward and make a gift of $100,000 to go towards this project. And then it was brought back to life a little bit, and couldn't be better timing because, like we said, it is a department that we have continued to see an increase in these services, even throughout the pandemic, when maybe some other services dropped off. Patients were regularly receiving these infusion therapy treatments, and we've just continued to see it grow. So it's so exciting. But let's talk a little bit about how we can use support from others to move forward with this project.
Absolutely. The Van Deest Medical Center Foundation launched its 2021 annual giving campaign named the Give With Your Heart Capital Campaign. This year's campaign will support the infusion center renovation project. The foundation supported this campaign with a lead-off gift of $50,000 to demonstrate their belief in this renovation project. In addition, our employees were challenged with raising $10,000 to support the Give With Your Heart campaign, and they have very nearly met that goal. These gifts, along with a donation from a previous infusion center patient, as well as a donation from Baumgars, have been very appreciated and will help to ensure the infusion center meets the needs of our patients for years to come. And we are, again, so thankful for all of the donations that we've received so far. When you look at a donation and the impact that it's going to give, in this instance, this one is going to be impacting patients for years and years and years to mm-hmm. come. So we're just so thankful for everyone that has donated anything to this project. We still do have a long ways to go to cover the cost of this project, however. And so we do have a link set up on our website for donations to the Infusion Center project. They can also be mailed to the Van Diest Medical Center Foundation. I believe they can call and say, Lori, I'd like to give a donation, and you can work with them to set those up.
Absolutely, I can. And like you mentioned, really the easiest way to donate to the campaign is you can do it right now as you're sitting at your computer. Go to our website, vandiestmc.org, and it's right on the homepage. Make a donation and support the project. Lee highlighted a few of the donations that have come in to support the project. In addition, the foundation hosted a golf outing last year. All the proceeds from that golf outing were going towards the Infusion Center renovation project. We've had a number of patients that currently receive treatments there, maybe have had family members receive treatments there. They've donated to the project, and it's been incredible to hear the stories. I have received donations in honor of people that are getting treatments currently there. And that's a great way. If you've got friends or family that you know, it has really helped them out to be able to get these treatments right here at their local hospital. You can make a gift in honor of them. And we will be adding those donations to our current giving board that is located just inside the west entrance of the hospital. But again, we appreciate any and all gifts of any amount. They help to support the project, as Lee mentioned too, supporting patients for years to come. So it really is a wonderful project to get behind, and information can be found online. And again, I am available too. Feel free to even contact me or shoot me an email and talk over the different ways in which you can help to support this project. My email is lfoster@vandiestmc.org. My direct phone number is 515-832-7877. Any other information to share about the Infusion Center project?
Just again, that as we identify, you know, where we're going to be providing services and what that timeline looks like, we'll be sure to share that with our patients mm-hmm. so that they're not surprised when they come in. We don't have an exact timeline yet. But we hope to very soon. And, you know, again, once we do, we'll make sure and share that with you.
Great. Lee, thank you for sharing the information. I know we've got just a couple minutes left in the program. You know, you do oversee the Infusion Center, but primarily you oversee our clinics here at Van Diest Medical Center. And those clinics are located in Webster City, Fort Dodge, Jewell, and Stratford. In general, do you have any maybe comments or updates that you wish to share before we close out the program?
Yeah, we are staying busy in the clinics. I think it is a good time to remind people that as we're going into spring, into summer, as kids are winding down the school year, it's a good time to look at preventative care. You know, if there are physicals that are needed, or for kids, sports physicals or immunizations going into the next school year, now's the time to start looking at those and getting those scheduled. In addition, just a reminder that we do still offer the Moderna COVID vaccine for primary, secondary, and booster doses. If you want to call and talk with our clinics, we can get you scheduled. We do those at least monthly. We have lists that we call patients and get them scheduled for those, but we can go even up to weekly if we need to, depending upon the need of the patients and the number of patients on the list. So I know we're seeing this downturn in COVID right now, and that's fantastic. And we're hoping that, you know, it just kind of stays down there. But, you know, getting those boosters is really going to help us to keep those numbers low. So if you haven't gotten your booster, give us a call. We'll get you scheduled, and we can get you that booster very easily.
Excellent. Lee, again, thank you for being on the program today. Always a pleasure to have you on, and just great information to share. And we are so excited to get this project underway. So thank you for your leadership and involvement with the project.
And thank you, Lori. I appreciate being able to come and talk about our exciting project for the Infusion Center.
Very good. And to everybody out there, tune in next week for our next edition of Focus on Health.